Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today we continue our interview with the late Stan Grenz. When I go back to the question of the comment that someone made that a theologian is someone who takes something simple and makes it complicated. When you go to Israel, to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, you go back under this section there, and you'll find these guys that basically read Scripture all day, every day, and they've been doing it most of their lives. And you find that within a lot of traditions, there's this perception that if you head off to the academic institution to get the professional training for, you know, your work in that seminary setting, that your faith is going to be at danger. Because, in fact, you're going to move from that simplicity of faith to a complexity and even a confusion. Almost the more you know, the more you're confused about it. What's going on with that? I mean, what's happening and what is the relationship between, for goodness sakes, it's really very simple. You know, everything Jesus said, if you use the Christian tradition, could be summarized in love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself, you know, and Jesus said all the law could be summarized that way, and people would say this is more about, you know, orthopraxy, practicing what Jesus taught, than it is orthodoxy, you know, kind of this long list of doctrines. Mm-hmm. Theology tends to be in most people's minds associated with the doctrinal enterprise and all of the stuff that ends up as a lifetime pursuit and big, thick volumes of stuff. And the everyday practitioner, whether it's in the Buddhist tradition or the Christian tradition or Islamic tradition, I mean, that's really not where they view it as being, you know, that's not where they view their faith as at. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. What is the relationship between a kind of that's the simplicity of a religious tradition mm-hmm. and what you guys do as theologians?
Yes. In a nutshell, one could suggest, Dick, that the theologian is about the business of clarifying beliefs and helping persons within that tradition, whether Christian or whatever, in my case, the Christian tradition, understand more completely what are the basic beliefs as well as the whole plethora of beliefs that go into being a Christian. Now, what's interesting is that beliefs, though, aren't an end in and of themselves, but rather beliefs are for the sake of living. And thus, the theologian's work, while it focuses on beliefs, at least in my understanding, it extends beyond simply what one believes in one's head and affects in the way one lives. You see, because people live out their beliefs. You see?
Right.
So there is this intimate connection.
Ideas have consequences.
Ideas have consequences.
Yeah. And what I believe is going to affect the way I behave,
That's
the way
right.
I live out my life.
That's right.
Okay. But if at the one level, no one could rationally argue that God would be simple.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, there's obviously a complexity there.
Sure.
But people might argue that it is the experience of God. It is, well, the Quakers would argue that kind of the inner light, the sense that I have a sense of what is true or what is not true.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of inner gyro is, in fact, what is driving most people on spiritual journey today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I interview people, whether it's a Buddhist or a Muslim or whatever tradition they are, they almost always end up, like you did,
yes.
saying that it started with this experience that they had or something
sure.
where they got this
sure.
sense of something.
Yeah.
And then they'll almost always follow by saying, it just made sense. It just seemed true. It just seemed, you know, do everyday people, you've said we're all theologians,
mm-hmm.
have the ability to kind of discern what is true based on something that is prepackaged within them, and therefore they don't need the theologian with the big, you know, highfalutin theories and all the books and the libraries? Or what is the relationship between my kind of inner ability to gauge what is true and my dependency on somebody like you to come in and say, well, but have you thought about this?
Sure. Okay. Perhaps, again, the way in is to remind ourselves of of the parallel, perhaps the possible parallel between the theologian and the scientist. You could say the same thing to the scientist. Look, all I need to know is that I turn on the tap and I get water. Now, whether or not that's H2O doesn't really mean a whole lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
But behind all of that, there is something important about H2O, and we realize that getting water from a tap is a lot more involved. There's a lot more behind that than just turning that tap on, even though in everyday life, you go ahead and do that. There is still the importance of the research scientist because long-term that has important consequences for us all. And so also with theology, that of course, the average person walking down the street has this belief system and they live on the basis of that. What do they need the theologian for? Well, to think through this a bit deeper, to pursue some of these different dimensions of this, because that will have long-term implications for people.
But it is one of the, I would perceive it as one of the problems with theology being so locked up in an academic discipline.
Well, sure.
Because there need to be connections between people who do what you and people who listen to a show like this that say, I watched, you know, Planet Mars, one of those movies, and there was this thing about, you know, how humans got on Earth, and, you know, what do you guys think about that? How do they, you know, or a movie like we did the other night, Ordinary People, and this kid commits suicide or attempts suicide after the accidental death of a son, and there's questions coming out about, you know, do you believe in God? Where was God when this happened? You know, what does God give a rip about what happens in my life? Those are theological questions.
That's right.
And there are points where everyday people, even if they have an inner gyro that gives them a sense of what is right or true, they bump up against something in their life experience that raises questions that are beyond what they feel capable of answering.
Of course. And one of my personal goals and roles as a theologian is to come alongside people and be a bit of a gadfly and raise questions about belief and about what they're seeing, about what they're understanding, in order to get them thinking a bit more deeply and to begin to question some of what may be their kind of folk beliefs so that they can actually land on what is more solid ground, especially if they come from a Christian tradition, to do that as a Christian.
Now, just as a little exercise, I'm going to assume that a theologian who is writing about things that they think they're important, or recognizing that there's a publisher in between who might think they have an idea of what is needed. But for instance, you wrote a book called Who Needs Theology?
Right.
What's the basic – what made you want to write a book like that?
This conversation is what made me want to write a book like that, because that book is geared toward the beginner, the person who isn't really sure that the whole theological enterprise has any validity at all. So the book is intended to bring them into the discipline at the level that they're at and show them that for their day in and day out living, theology is important.
So you wanted to help everyday people walk in the streets, be able to work through some of the basic stuff that a theologian does.
That's
learn
right.
some of the tools,
That's
understand
right.
what the questions are.
That's right.
And understand how they relate to an everyday life
That's
of a person.
Right.
Okay.
And at the other end of the spectrum, Dick, is a book that will come out in the fall that I've written, that's not been published yet, entitled The Social God and the Relational Self. And that book...
Tell you what, let's pick up there when we come back.
Okay.
Social God and Relational Self.
The Social God and the Relational Self.
Wow. Join us again tomorrow for some more of our interview with Stan Grams. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.